big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to welcome you to another very special show, but I'm a bit soured, to be honest.
Yeah, John's miserable.
No, I'm not. You're the miserable one. The minute John walked in, he's like, so, do we have the dates? Do we have the new equipment from the sponsors? It's yeah. Like...
Answer to both of those questions is no.
That's right. That's right. Yes, yeah. So? So, we're building something, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
We are, and we can't reveal all to the readers at this stage.
Because you don't know what it is.
No, I do.
Yeah. Can you tell what it is yet?
No, but the promoter, he wants the first show to be a good one.
Is that in the contract? The show has to be good.
Yeah, but this has to be especially good. Because he said, what happens with those sorts of shows is, quite often it's the same people come back, you know. So you want to be able to give them a reason to come back. They don't want to feel like, I did see them do that pod.
Yeah.
I don't need to go to that again.
In the same way that you've seen Metallica 300 times.
Yes. And I only need to see them 200. Yeah. 99 times. So we will discuss, but, you know, we're going to have some razzle-dazzle. And in terms of sponsorship...
We're available.
I'm available. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was going to maybe do a practice run.
I'm actually available for voiceovers as well, if you'd like that. I'll do anything.
Hang on, can I quote you on that? I'll do anything.
Yeah, birthday messages. I don't care. I don't care if it's stuff like Saudi money or things like that. I'm not one of these people who go, oh, I can't do that. I very much can do that.
Is that why you're wearing a T-shirt today, which says on it, pod washing?
Give me Saudi money.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No.
Is there a pod festival in Saudi? I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too, mate.
No agonising from me. Yeah. I'm on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the problem is with all these people. All these people going,
listen,
oh no, I bet you they've only gone for the money.
Awful. Because all money is dirty. There's no clean money knocking about.
Right.
It's gone through someone's hands.
Yeah.
Filthy.
And they reckon almost every, I know not everybody uses notes these days, but every note's encrusted with cocaine and God knows what else. Cocaine's probably the only good thing in it. It's probably just disgusting.
The only thing of any value left.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to yes, one thing I was going to tell you. We will have a proper conversation about this, but there are going to be shows to confirm. I don't know about sponsorship because Olivia,
why are you doing this on the? Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you fucking started it with your moaning. No, this is for the readers. Listen. Talking about merch, I was talking to Terry about the merch, right? And we're all into, we need those shirts. Kurt Cobain, he died for you.
Buy your Kurt Cobain shirts here.
That's right.
Because they're not, that. Can I say that is now, that is not an infringement of copyright.
No, of course not. It's Kurt Cobain. Same with The Dealer.
Yeah, well, The Dealer, yeah.
You've been dealt.
Yeah, you've been dealt a dead hand.
There you go.
By The Dealer.
Just 8 years left.
Yeah.
That's it. He came up with, I thought, a very funny idea, because obviously we have a certain demographic, if you know what I mean. He said, how about you do a Kurt Cobain kitchen apron?
Right.
You know, because I don't know about you.
Gift to the wife.
Well, obviously, her indoor, the little woman.
The little lady while she's doing your dinner.
Put a little smile on her face. Yeah. while she's hurrying up with your dinner.
Yeah.
And where's my cold drink? You know I don't like lager.
Yeah.
Yeah. That went down a dark turn quickly. No, he was saying, or you could do like oven gloves, you know, like something
for the a ladies. Certain
I also told him about our idea for a cologne, because that's on the table, you know, our own cologne.
Is it? Yeah.
Colin Klein.
Yeah.
For men.
Yeah. And what it smells of is the marquee circa 1986.
When everybody smoked.
Yeah. Yeah. That great smell of smoke and the carpet that's got untold. Yeah. Amounts of
well, that
beer
carpet
in it.
That you would sink
yeah,
into.
Yeah, your feet would actually go into.
Yeah.
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 And you sort of squelch your way to the bar.
Yeah, and that's not from the rain, that's beer.
Yeah.
That's and it, yeah. Beer and, you know, beer and.
Whatever else there is, yeah.
Everything else, yeah. So you didn't. I thought you'd be more excited about the Kurt Cobain, what do you call it? Apron.
Yeah, but listen, if it brings in money, I'm.
No. Saudi money.
Yeah, Saudi money. Yeah.
You're very... Can you...
Well, because Saudi money's the big thing, isn't it? It's the big thing in football. It's everywhere. It's like, you know, Jordan, what's his name from Liverpool's gone over there to spread the word about gay rights and trouser, you know, 50 million a season or whatever it is.
Yeah, it was like £1 million a week.
Oh, no, I've always wanted to play for Al Ittihad. I grew up dreaming of that, you know.
I always wanted to play for Czech's Notes. That's Egyptian. I'm fluent. I am. Yeah. I was born in a pyramid.
Yeah.
Right, so let's get into the rock news, John. And we're gonna start... We have a little bit of sadness, but we're going to start first of all with hilarity.
Oh, are we?
Oh, are we going to start with sadness?
Yeah. Well,
you want sadness?
I thought we were doing an. I thought we were doing a tribute episode.
Absolutely right. Yeah. You're quite right. So, you begin.
Call yourself to order.
Well, I'll begin with the one I've heard of.
Okay, go.
Then you carry on with the one no one's heard of, apart from a friend of ours named Dave, Bernie Marsden.
Yeah.
Bernie Marsden.
Yeah, see, don't fuck with old Cov.
I love... What does that mean? Are you suggesting... My lord, are you suggesting that old Cov bumped off old Bernie?
Well, see, like Bernie Marsden passed away a week or so ago, rather sadly, and actually received... quite a lot of rather excellent notices. He had obituaries in probably nearly all of the broadsheets.
Did he?
And he had a tribute message from old Cov himself, who tweeted Cov tweeted a picture of them on stage together.
And he wrote, I wish you well.
On stage together, not that long ago. So Bernie had obviously turned up and jammed at a snake event, you know.
Bernie was always turning up to jam. That's pretty much everywhere I met him in the last 10 or 15 years.
He was going out
years.
To jam. So I'm reading the... So then I'm reading the obituary. It was either The Telegraph or The Times. It said, you know, Bernie Marsden, he wrote, co-wrote Here I Go Again for Whitesnake. He then re-recorded it, became a massive hit. And Bernie had to sue David Coverdale to get the money. Sue Whitesnake to get the money.
Really?
But then...
I don't know why I'm saying it like that. This is every day in the music
They were
business.
Chums again, you know, or so but, you know.
Mm. Does David have a lot of chums?
I don't know.
I was once told, and I'm sure this isn't true, and it absolutely wasn't Sharon Osbourne that told me this.
A lot of the stuff on this podcast isn't true.
No,
let's
that's right.
That
that's
now.
Right. It may be factually... It may
debatable.
Not be the actuality.
No. I mean, no one's saying old Cov would whack a former member of his band.
No. Well, you are.
No, I'm not.
Apart from
no,
you,
not.
You're the only one saying it. Let's be clear on that, because I know
old that's
Cov,
absolutely
and he'd
what
never
I'm not
do that.
Saying.
But somebody once told me that at his wedding to Tawny, they had to do a fucking roundup of, you know, friends.
Yeah, but who said that? That's just someone bitter, isn't it, who said that to you? I could say three names.
I think it was mainly her friends. You know, she didn't have any, so it's apart from other band members.
Yeah. What, you mean David didn't...
Band members are available.
David didn't want Rat to be at the wedding.
Or Pete Angelus.
Yeah.
Who was David Lee Roth's manager and the Black Crowes. Yeah. There's no truth to that rumour.
I know who Pete him and his
what, yeah, but I'm telling David the readers. I'm manager. Telling the readers. Yeah. Right, so yeah, what so, are we talking but, about?
Well, Bernie, yeah. So, I mean, he had this... and I think I sent you a YouTube.
You did. It was really nice.
It was rather
actually,
good. But Marsden had done, of late, in his sort of later years. I mean, you don't want to be going around playing endless heavy metal gigs when you're in your 70s, do you? You know, unless you're.
Well, you do if you're Mick Mars.
Yeah. Well, no, Mick. Well, yeah. Does Mick Mars want to do that? We don't know, do we?
Well, we'll get on to the deal.
Yeah, get on to the deal.
No spoilers.
Bernie, so he'd play acoustically, and he developed this really lovely sort of acoustic version of Here I Go Again that he sang himself in a rather delightful
voice.
Yeah, yeah, lovely voice he had as well, yeah. So very talented guy, very talented writer.
Didn't he also co-write Fool for Your Loving?
He probably co-wrote all the ones that you know.
Yeah.
You know, him,
Cub. Well, that'd be Fool for Your Loving and Here I Go Again.
Those two, yeah. Yeah, but he, but no, started off in, he was in UFO, I didn't know that.
Really?
Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you?
That must have been... Was that after Juicy Lucy?
It was only like about 10 minutes. You know, it's one of those things where,
John, even I was in UFO for 10 exactly, minutes in 1975 or whatever it was, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
He was in Juicy Lucy, wasn't
was he?
Was
he? Something like that. Oh, yeah, I mean, he was in loads of things like... Then he did this sort of classic thing of like, everyone realised he was a really good guitarist, but he was never getting the gig in the big band. He was always getting the gig in... you know, he'd get the gig in Cozy Powell's Hammer, you know, instead of, like, it wouldn't be in Rainbow, being Cozy Powell's
and that,
Hammer.
And that was kind of the level Whitesnake were at that point,
this
wasn't
is,
it?
See, this is what I thought would be interesting to talk about this, because that's what interested me, was those sort of long years of Whitesnake, when Coverdale, who'd been a big star in Deep Purple, kind of came out of Deep Purple and just became this sort of jobbing rocker, you know, playing bluesy...
Well, because at that time in the, I mean, Coverdale was only in Purple for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but I mean, in the scale of things, two or three years was a long time back then.
But in 1977,
exactly,
if you've got
when
long
rock
hair,
music's only been going for 10 years, to have been in a band for 3 years, you've been in 30%.
Can I finish my point before you decide to mansplain what it is I'm trying to say?
Oh, this is going to be your new thing. That, you know, to...
carry on.
Shutting people down by trying to say they mansplain. That is a very, you know, that is a very gaslighting thing to do.
Oh, so now I'm gaslighting.
You're shutting me down. Yeah,
I am actually. Shut the fuck down, will you? For one fucking minute. In 77, when Coverdale is now looking for something to do, the first thing he does is sign as a solo artist.
Right, yes.
Two albums. And what's his... unique selling point, the voice, soulful, that old-fashioned stuff.
The look.
Absolutely. And he's looking at Rod Stewart. He's looking at, you know, all those bands that, you know, have sort of they've got the musicianship and the great singer. But it's the time of punk. And just around the corner, the new wave of Britain, it's Motorhead and AC/DC. He's out. And in a way, he's glad because he wants to be Rod Stewart or whatever, except it doesn't happen. Unlike Rod Stewart, he's never written Maggie May, you know. So then comes Whitesnake, which essentially comprised of the leftovers from Purple, Lord, Pace.
Well, it was the thing, then John Lord, like, joins it. And
he was doing nothing, was he?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And what do you do in 1979, 80, when, you know, everything is punk all the time in the music press, which is... the big social media of its day. But I think he lucks out because Bernie's a great songwriter. Mickey Moody was obviously very tasty on the old guitar.
Yeah, so he's got two tasty guitarists, but they're old school.
Yes.
They're not like...
It was pre-MTV.
Yeah, yeah. So they're just like blokes in leather jackets that you'd see down the pub, basically.
Yeah, or
till they got on stage and then they're like rocking.
Well, because they came from that tradition of, you know, you don't dress up.
No, you dress down.
Like Elton John, you know, you dress down like Deep Purple.
Yeah, well, like Bernie Marsden.
Also, bless his heart, once you get to the moment where Bernie and Mickey and that whole era of Whitesnake ends, when Coverdale signs his deal with Geffen Records in 84, MTV, that's what it's all about now in America. Yeah. Coverdale wants to be big in America again. And the Bernie Mickey lineup, even despite the great songs, some of those records weren't even released in America.
See, the thing is, you say great songs. I went and had a look back at those records.
Well, I'm talking about Fool Again and the other.
Because the thing is, they came out so quickly. And, they, you know, this really is the old school of records when they had eight songs on and there's probably two that are any good and there are two or three that are, like, you know, pretty standard rock, and then there are a couple that you never speak of again, you know.
Well, yeah, but also classics like Lie Down, I Think I Love You.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
That's a classic.
So they do, well, I don't know what the first one was. It just called Whitesnake? I don't know what David Coverdale's Whitesnake. And then they did Trouble, or maybe the first one was called Trouble. And then they did Love Hunter.
Darling.
I'm a love hunter, baby.
Michael. Yeah. My new album is called Love Hunter.
A girl straddling a big snake on that. I don't know where you got
I never
idea
quite
that.
Understood that symbolism. No, was it saying love is like a poison arrow?
Yeah, well, no, was she the love hunter, or had she been hunted by the snake? The snake was the love hunter. I never got to the bottom of that.
As it were, the snake, just figuratively speaking, the snake between her legs.
Yeah, was that hunting her, or was she hunting the snake?
Was she wearing any clothes?
She was wearing minimal clothes.
Minimal
I'd
clothes.
Say. Yeah.
Well, I think it's hunting by mutual
consent.
She
was wearing just enough clothes to get into Woolworths, into the racks at Woolworths.
Interesting detail there, John. I hadn't thought of that before.
So they did Love Hunt. Then they did Ready and Willing, which was sort of their breakthrough, because that did have...
I told you, Your Honour, she was ready and willing. Don't listen to what she says now she's woken up.
Yeah. That was basically the thrust of that one.
And okay, then, but here was the deal breaker, okay? Coverdale wanted to make it in America.
Interrupting.
Oh, Shut Me Down. Shut me down. You're gaslighting.
Because then what do they do? Then I think they did Saints and Sinners, because Cozy Powell did join for a while, didn't
I know,
they?
Yeah. Well, no, well, and hang on. Cozy joins... This is the very juncture I wish to explore, the crevice I wish to go deep on, David. Yes, Cozy joins, and at the same time as he gets Sykes in, and that's the beginning.
No, it was way before that. You're wrong. You're wrong. 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 It was when they used to go camping over Dartmoor.
Gaslighting. Well, I'm going to get my fucking phone.
All right, well,
out
you do that. But I'll say the other thing I was going to say, which is
in
the midst of all this, they release, you know, one of the great live albums,
which was Live in the Heart of the City.
When they really, this kind of, all of a sudden, you get what Coverdale's vision is. And it's this kind
of vision.
Yeah, because it's got stuff. I mean, it's got Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. It's got. Opens with Fool for Your Loving, you know, it's just a really, really great live album. There's another big slow one on there I'm trying to think of now.
Yeah, but you're missing Come
it's
and
got
Get
Walking
It.
Walking in the Shadow of the Blues, it's got all of that stuff. Yeah. And they were like cooking with gas at that point.
Yeah. But here's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, go on.
You haven't discussed Come and Get It.
Come and Get It, yeah.
Or,
oh, that was the one with the apple on the front, wasn't it? With the chick girl again.
What was the girl doing this time?
She was eating an apple or something.
Was it the same girl?
Probably.
You say
probably. Well, no, it might not be. Are
you saying all girls look alike, John?
No, but, you know.
What?
No, in Cove, it probably wasn't the same girl.
Right, just to be very, very clear. Very, 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 very clear, okay? On Saints and Sinners.
Yes.
Which came out in 1982.
Yeah.
That was the album. I mean, we say it didn't have the songs. These are all the songs that made them big in America. Crying in the Rain.
Oh, right.
Here I Go Again.
On My Own.
And I'm going to tell you who played on that, John. Oh, that was Ian Pace on drums.
Pacey.
Pacey!
Yeah, I told you.
You said Cozy Powers in the group by then.
Cozy Power came along and they played Donington, didn't they?
Oh,
I'm sure they played.
Oh, dear.
They definitely played Donington. You used to go to Donington, didn't you?
I went there like 9 years running.
Yeah, and so you must have seen on the hill David Coverdale's Whitesnake. See, he was very insistent, like yourself, in ensuring that his name was very prominent in the band's name.
So Saints and Sinners comes out in 1982. No Cozy on that one.
When did Cozy join?
I'm about to tell you, John.
Okay, thank you.
I did already tell you, but you refuted my irrefutable fact. Here we go, John. Let me just tell you now. Oh, look, there he is. Cozy joins in time for the release of Slide It In.
Oh, yeah, right.
Another
to the top.
Great Whitesnake track. Yeah. And that was released in January 1984. And let me tell you who played guitar on that, John, because I'm sure you'll be interested.
I'm very interested. Was Bernie still in it then?
No, it was Mel Galley.
Oh.
Mickey Moody was still
there. Oh, so Bernie's gone by this
but
point.
But John Sykes, that's when they recruited John Sykes.
Right, and what did he do?
Played guitar.
What, on that record?
Yeah.
So they had Mel Galley, Mickey Moody and John Sykes.
Well, this was the big controversy at the time. They recorded the album with Mel and Mickey in 1983.
Yeah.
Released it in the UK January 84.
Can we just establish for younger readers that Mel Galley was a bloke?
Yes.
It's not Melanie Galley.
No. And then they did the deal with Geffen, and Geffen, David Kolodner. There's another shirt.
Yeah.
David Kolodner.
Yeah.
David Kolodner.
Yeah.
David Kolodner came in and transformed their fortunes. So the UK release came out, like I say, January 84. But then David Kolodner, he completely changed the whole thing. Different tracks, like Slide It In was track two on the original. Now it opens the album. And John
so
Sykes...
So you need to be some kind of genius to do that.
And so... John Sykes is brought in to re-record.
He was sort of the equivalent of a vajazzle.
He was.
Yeah.
Whatever that means,
vajazzle.
Well, in a group.
Do you know what a vajazzle is?
Yes, of course I know what a vajazzled
Saints
I
and
invented
sinners,
vajazzle.
Yeah.
I was there at the dawn of vajazzle.
Yeah.
When I accidentally left a gold tooth on the pillow. Yeah. Right. So just to be clear, John.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cozy Powell joined around that time that John Sykes
in. I think this
you concede that, will you?
This is woolly. This is woolly information, I'd say.
No, I'd say that was straight off Wikipedia. So it must be true.
So, but by this point, Bernie,
you never let me finish
Bernie
my point.
Has been cast aside.
Yeah, as will Mel hurts his hand in a terrible gardening accident. Yeah.
I remember that, and he had all like wires.
Yeah,
put into
I interviewed him about it.
Did you,
I never
did
knew
say?
What the truth was. Well, the story that we were told was
it's a bit like in Casino, you know. The film
well,
Casino.
I think that's what really happened. Yeah. But it was a drunken night, and he fell over on a car or something, or I'll have to look it up. It'd be on the internet somewhere. Yeah. But he wore this horrible contraption, and it was all kind of, you know, he'll be okay in 9 months. Yeah. They've had to wait for next thing. So they bring Sykes in.
You'll be, yeah, so in the interim, we've got this young blonde god.
Yeah. So they get rid of, they literally get rid of Colin Hodgkinson,
yeah, bomber,
on bass.
Bomber.
Get rid of Pacey, bring Cozy in.
Yeah, why they get rid of Pacey?
Because Purple reformed.
So he went back to Purple, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So he got,
he didn't so much get rid of Pacey as Pacey went, I'm off now to Deep Purple.
Free transfer.
They're still big in America, so I'll see you later at the old cameo.
Yeah.
John Sykes. So David Kolodner, he hits on this, and this is when they do the very first videos that make them famous in America, because Slide It In is one of those, it's a bit like Master of Puppets, it's one of those albums that goes gold,
yeah,
but you know the next, it just make the next one, and the next one was 1987, which was Ainsley Dunbar on drums. Anyway, the thing is, you know, they had the excuse for getting rid of Mel. Bernie had already gone.
That was the excuse.
And but Mickey Moody is dropped simply because he doesn't look good on MTV.
Yeah.
He's not going to appeal to the dudes and the dudesses.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, so that's what happened to Bernie. That's,
yeah, but then that leaves old Cov with the problem that in order to break America, they have to re-record all the old Snake hits,
which they do, and that doesn't always work.
No, but they were penned by Messrs. Oh, along with Cove. I mean, if you look at those, I looked at all the songwriting credits in my research.
Oh yeah,
and old
Cove. This is a very heavily researched.
Old Cove wrote a fair few of those songs, co-wrote and wrote.
Yeah, you do wonder, though, how many co-writes.
Well, I don't know, because in fairness, a lot of the, you know, talk about those albums that came out one after the other at the start of the 80s, he solo writing credits on a lot of them.
Crying in the Rain is solo credited to David.
Yeah, so, you know, he obviously does
and
write
quite
a lot.
And that's a masterpiece.
It's about, crying.
In the rain.
Yeah.
When your heart's been broken by another bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So,
well, she should
that.
Be in the kitchen but in her Kurt Cobain apron.
But Cove is forever dogged by this, isn't he? I mean, Whitesnake's success isn't sort of shiny and new. Every time he comes back to Britain, certainly.
Blighty.
But, yeah, you'll get your old stage of Whitesnake fans will say...
Lingy.
I'm not saying who they
you
were.
You and Lingy.
The original versions were better.
Yeah,
but
they still...
Marsden and Moody... Mm. were better than Sykes and Adrian Vandenberg, Steve Vai.
Yeah, who needs that stuff when you've got...
Steve Vai. Here's Steve Vai playing...
Well, here we go. Case in point. They redid Here I Go Again, and again it gets fuzzy because I don't know if Sykes played on the American version. He obviously played on an earlier one. But it wasn't on the original UK 1987 album. They added it at a later stage because it was a huge hit in America.
Yeah.
But it was meant to be, the UK, they know this song. We'll just put it out in America. Because these days we feel like we know everything from every country. But back then, America and Britain, you could do something over there and, I didn't know they did that. You know, but Here I Go Again... huge hit, huge, doesn't matter who plays on it, it's just a great hit. Fool for Your Loving, where they tried to repeat the trick, that's the Steve Vai version.
Oh, it is a Steve Vai version.
Flopperoon. Because it's all, Fool for Your Loving, no more. Fool for Your Loving. Do a Steve Vai for me, you're good.
I can't imagine it in the context of Fool for Your Loving, It doesn't work like that.
No, it's not a...
But
this stuff
should be a pension for Moody and Mars. Their payoff for being dumped should be,
2%.
Yeah, well, the rest of their life, they got, they co-wrote these songs. So they're not making the same kind of money as if they were in the band and playing the shows and getting the merch and all the rest of it.
I think Tawny Kitaen probably made more money out of Whitesnake than those poor fellas did,
I don't know what they made. But here's the interesting thing about Bernie Marsden that I read in his obituary. One of the things he did, you'll be astonished to know, was collect guitars.
Hang on, wait. a guitarist
who collected guitars. Mm. But Bernie was the most savvy collector of guitars, because one guitar in his collection is estimated to be worth £1 million.
I know where he used to live, you know. We could pop round there after dark.
Yeah.
Bernie orders us to clean the... No, the £1 million guitar.
Yeah, he just asks us to retune
it. Oh, bless.
Tune it up.
I tell you what, he was a funny guy as well. 2014, that sort of era, I was doing some work with Joe Bonamassa, and Bernie turned up at the gig in London. And I was like, why is he here? Not because I don't like Bernie, but yeah. I couldn't connect the dots. Yeah. It's the blues,
guitars.
Of course.
It turns out
they know each other, and Bernie brings Joe this beautiful guitar to look at.
Right, yeah.
And then Joe goes off to do his sound check, and me and Bernie are just sitting around, you know, having to kill time. And he started telling me stories. Fucking hell, John. I was crying with laughter. And then cut to many years later, after I'd done that tour with Francis, because Bernie used
Francis
to live around
Rossi.
Here. Francis Rossi. Bernie used to live around here, and... I said, Bernie, we got to do this. You know, Francis had quite a big production and a tour bus and all that. I said, that just costs money. You and me could just get in a car. You bring your acoustic.
Yeah.
And we'll just clean up. And he was well up for it.
Saudi and, money.
Eh?
Saudi money.
And it's a horrible, bitter story as to why it never happened. Not from Bernie's point of view. He was absolute darling.
Yeah.
But what I like to call the cunt promoter.
Yeah.
In those days.
Yeah, good relationship you had with him.
Yeah, credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Cunt.
That would have been great, Bernie telling stories.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah. And he did his book as well, Where's My Guitar?
Yeah.
He was a... And then cut to a few years later... I go to see Billy Gibbons at Shepherd's Bush Empire, and there's Bernie.
Yeah.
You know,
but see, here's the thing that I mean, I didn't know him at all, but here is the thing I'm picking up and going to observe now, is that he did the wonderful thing that we should all try and do, is that he didn't become bitter.
No. That's actually what I was going to say. So I'm sitting around talking to him a few years ago before, talking about maybe going and doing some shows. And I don't know how it came up, but he was saying, he goes, I saw David the other day. I said, did you? He goes, he's a remarkable man, isn't he? I say, yeah, he is. He goes, you know, he wants to look like that. He wants to be that. He decided that's what he wanted to do. And he did it. You know, fair play to him. You know, he's older than me, he goes, but I look like his father. I was laughing. There was a man properly at peace.
Yeah, exactly. He did, you know, that old saying, I do not want what I have not got. What he had was treasure in itself, was he had the reputation of being a lovely bloke and B, a really, really good musician and songwriter.
He was absolute diamond. And I tell you what, that I do not want what I do not have. There's one exception to that.
Who's that?
Saudi money. That's what I'm talking about.
I haven't got
Saudi,
that, but I would very much like it.
Yeah, I don't have any Saudi money.
No, but I'd like some.
But I want it.
Yeah.
Can that be arranged?
Yeah, I don't know.
We need to take the pod on the road properly. To
Riyadh. It's natural home. Yeah.
That's right.
Where has Jordan Henderson found his natural home?
That's right.
In whatever city he's in.
Always
wanted to play there. Always wanted to always wanted to ply his trade in the Saudi League.
Always wanted to tread the sand, hallowed sand.
He wanted
the
to
hallowed
test,
sand.
He wanted to test himself against all of the great players that are over there.
Saudi players.
In fact, increasingly
such as
there are a lot. I mean, old Ronaldo's over there, and Ronaldo's getting something like, you know, £1 million a day.
Yeah.
You know,
even
for days he's not playing football.
Yeah. And he's like,
banking £1 million.
He's like, why am I only getting £1 million?
Yeah, exactly. He's the one person you can guarantee is not grateful in the slightest.
He's not happy.
But he won't be happy.
He's not happy.
He'll have got it for a couple of weeks, he'll have been quite pleased to be getting it. And then after a couple of weeks, I'm going,
yeah,
Is this all? Is this it?
For the next year? Just fucking sand and more sand.
Can I not get? Well, no. Is this all the money? Is there not going to be more? It's only a million a day.
To tread the hallowed sand.
To run out and nod the old goals in for Al.
Ach.
Yeah.
Right, so now listen, tremendous. God bless, I don't often get serious, but seriously, Bernie Marsden, one of
nature's gentlemen,
really,
I would say.
Truly, God bless him, Bernie.
Very good man.
Now, another very famous rock star died almost the same day, wasn't
he? Another really good man, actually.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of him, so do tell us, John.
Well, the legendary, as you would say, British AOR Legends FM.
Because that's quite a long list of British AOR legends.
Well, there you go. That's the point, isn't it? There really is probably only FM, you know.
But I'm racking my brain. Exactly. There's got to be others.
But in the early days of FM.
In the early days.
There was along with drummer Pete Jupp, who was always very amusing, and Merv Goldsworthy on the bass. Digital on the keyboards, if you remember.
Doing the bass?
No, digital on the keyboards.
Merv
Goldsworthy on the bass.
Now, you're like talking about old music hall figures from the 1920s, no one's heard of.
Were the brotherly pairing of Steve Overland on vocals and guitar and Chris Overland on lead guitar.
Ooh, lead guitar.
Chris had a tremendous look. He had like a big frosted mullet, you know, and he's a good looking guy. And he does the old solos. He's like the British Neil Sean, you know, for a couple of years.
Hang on. Chris Overland British Neil Sean.
For a couple of years, when FM were really at their peak. So their first album, Indiscreet, and then Tough It Out. A record beloved of me and Paul Elliott.
Anybody else ever heard of that record? Or?
Chris Overland sadly passed away. Overland famously, or as Paul Elliott always maintained, I've never known the truth of this, left FM to go and run a wine bar in Norwich. Now, whether this is true or not,
Norwich is a very pleasant place in which to drink wine.
And this was sort of in the era where wine bars were kind of a cut above your bog standard.
How far
dog
back
and
are we
duck,
going here? Because
1980s.
Oh, okay. The first wine bar I ever went into, the fuck was it called? It was in Ealing, and it was a wine bar.
Yeah,
it was probably called Ealing
Wine Bar. Yeah, but you remember? Like,
but that was the late 70s,
mate. But Ealing is in London.
Yeah,
right? And it's got wine bars.
Norwich.
Wine bars have got to get to Norwich.
Was that where he was from? Were they Norfolk?
I have no idea.
Norfolk.
No idea.
Do you know Ozzy? When he was sacked from Sabbath that first time, or as he put it to me, give you $90,000 in voucher, fuck off. He told me that his cunning plan, was to take the $90,000, go back to Birmingham, and with his first wife, Thelma, buy a wine bar.
Yeah, you see, that was
the thing to do.
Buy yourself a wine bar.
In Birmingham.
There'll always be trade.
With our wine.
There'll always be trade, because the markup on wine, you know, massive.
Unless, like Aussie, you tend to drink it by pushing the cork in with your thumb.
You can't be,
and then pour it into a pint glass.
Yeah, you can't be drinking the profits. I think had Aussie opened a wine bar,
it'd be dead now.
The $90,000 might not have lasted that, even as long as it did.
If Ozzy had opened a wine bar with his first wife, Thelma,
that would have changed the course of rock. That's what he would
history.
Have. Of course, that's what he would have. It would have been called Thelma's.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I like it. Well, used to
and
make me
know.
Laugh because in the whatever happened to the Likely Lads, Rodney Bewes, was that his name? He was like the goody-goody.
Rodney
his
Bewes.
Wife was Thelma.
Called Thelma, yeah.
It just amuses me for some reason. Yeah. I knew two people called Thelma. One was in Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads, and one was Ozzy's first wife.
There you go.
So Chris Overland, tell me more.
But then I don't think he ever rejoined FM. They've always had other guitarists and so on. But he was always this kind of figure of, you know, because his brother's the front man and the singer. And his brother's a great singer.
Sibling rivalry energy here.
I don't know the story.
Brothers.
Yeah,
I'd hate to be in a band with a brother.
But, But, you know, and Chris sadly passed away almost the same day as Bernie Marsden, I think, or the day after or something.
Was he a similar age?
Double blood. No, he was quite young. So I think he, yeah, I think.
When you say, what's young these days?
Well, I mean, you know, so.
To die, you mean, young to die.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 60 or something like that. Just about that age.
Just a boy.
Just a young boy.
Taken from us.
Yeah.
Ah, bless it.
Yeah. So, Chris, farewell. Those first two FM records.
Why did he leave?
Their music.
I need to go deep on this.
Honestly, can't
I never
remember.
Knew this.
I can give you Dave Ling's phone number.
No, I've got that, thank you. Yeah. That's burned
He'll
in
know.
My brain.
He'll know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you can't email Dave because he's still on the phone. You
in
see,
fact,
he's,
probably,
he's old school.
You know, Paul Elliott probably knows why he left. I don't know.
And more interesting, but why didn't he go back?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're the
sibling. I'm telling
you
now,
know,
it'll come out one day. It will come out.
He might have had a chain of wine bars. Who knows?
Plus, you know, Norwich. I was last there in about 2014.
Yeah, they've just got Wetherspoons.
They've what? Sorry,
just got Wetherspoons.
Have they?
Yeah,
spoons. You know, my daughters go to Spoons.
Oh, do they?
In Oxford or Abingdon or wherever. Yeah. And this has been going on for years. It's not like a new thing, but it was new on me. I didn't know. They go in there and all these blokes that look at them on Snapchat or whatever the fuck it is, through the app, they buy them drinks.
Really?
Yeah. You should ask your daughters. I bet they know all about it. Molly goes, oh, yeah, Jim from Shropshire just bought me dirty vodka or whatever.
Is that even legal?
It's all like, it's an app. Even as you sit in Spoons, because we had, one of the girls had a birthday thing a couple of years ago. So I went and I'm going to the, I'm thinking, oh, bar's empty. You know, like, there's no, thinking it'd be three deep. No one there. I'm straight up to the bar to order a drink. Like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, getting a beer. Yeah.
Because let's face it, no sleazy old man from Stourbridge is looking on the app and buying you a fucking drink.
Yeah, I just get.
Oh, look, I'll just buy this young, attractive girl a drink and a pint for your dad while you're at
pint
it.
For your granddad. Right? I'm like, what? I want a drink. They go, no, you sit down. They sit at the
sit
table.
Sit down and
they
wait.
Order it.
Sit
no,
down
no.
and wait. Well, you're still waiting.
No, they order it on the app.
Yeah.
I'm like, but there's a geezer standing right in front of me. He could just pour me it. I need a drink. So I had to catch up.
You had
see.
To wait till some.
No, I still yeah. insisted. I'm like, oi, garçon.
Yeah.
Fucking beer. Wake up, you cunt.
Yeah.
In
a nice way.
But in a very friendly.
Yeah.
Customer is always right way, you see. Yeah. So, yes, okay. Spoons. Don't knock Spoons. Yeah.
And then death dealt us one more.
Oh, God.
One
Who's
more
the other
blow.
One?
Well,
it comes
I, said
in
when
threes,
I, ca- I said to you when I came in. The guy,
yeah, I wasn't listening, though.
The guy I know simply as Gary. I don't know.
Oh, hang on. Wait. Not Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
A guy called Gary
yeah,
died.
Yeah, a guy called Gary is a big friend of a guy called Gerald.
Who knows that bloke, John.
Yeah, a guy called Gary. And he sang, I was saying to you, he sang the song.
Would this be Gary Wright?
I don't know, but he sang the song, Dreamweaver, something, something, get me through the night. Jeez, that sounds like fucking Nightmare on Elm Street. That's not it.
It's a dream, isn't it? You're having a dream, you see. Shall I move it on a bit?
Yeah. Was that the actual song? Through the night. There you go, that one.
Dream.
Oh, no, wait.
I thought he's coming back.
Dream Weaver. Beautiful. Oh,
I've
that
got
was
the lyrics. I've got the lyrics. Got the lyrics. Right. Ooh, Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night.
You see, I only knew it because it was on Boogie Nights.
I only knew it because it was on Wayne's World. Yeah. You see, when the blonde, he always reminds you of someone. The blonde one, I can't think who. he sees that girl and he falls in love.
Oh, yeah, he's already, yeah.
And every time he sees her, he goes,
Dreamweaver. Yeah.
You told me before we started this, that's actually your favourite song of all time, isn't it?
Sung by someone called Gary. Yeah.
Gary Wright.
Gary Wright, okay.
Gary Wright, Gary Wrong.
Gary.
You decide.
Yeah.
Okay. And he died.
Apparently so.
And how old is he?
I don't know. He's only in his late.
Only? He was only.
Well, I don't know. He was only a young boy in my mind. But I mean, considering how long ago the song came out, he was probably knocking on a bit.
Well, hang on. When you say how long ago was
it? I reckon it came out in the 70s. I reckon that sounds like a 70s.
Okay, let's have a little bet. How long do you... I mean, I'm going to say 74.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it was 1974.
Oh, well, and then I will say 75, just to keep it interesting.
Oh, I thought you'd looked it up.
No, I'm looking it up now.
What, 1975?
Yeah. You see, John, when you're a professional musical historian...
Someone should cover that.
We should. Let's do it. Dreamweaver.
Yeah.
You know who should cover it? FM.
Yeah, they probably do quite good versions.
Because they were a really... Are they still going? I don't know, but good band.
Of course they're still going.
Only thing they've ever lacked is a hit. There you go, boys. They can have that one on me. 10%, that's all.
Yeah.
In Saudi money, please.
Transfer it to the Saudi account.
So, Gary, God bless you for that beautiful song.
Yeah, well
John
done,
especially
Gary.
Was in tears when he heard... You'd gone. Right. Now, I think we're probably going to, we're coming towards the end of this particularly scintillating episode. But we have got time to squeeze in. We mentioned Coverdale.
Yeah.
I think I tried to send it to you. Maybe I didn't succeed. There was a fantastic picture of him, a Christmas picture that he sent. You know, like you send like a Christmas card out.
Yeah.
Some people used it with their family or whatever. Yeah. These days it's just like a tweet or a thing, isn't it? And I saw it just a little while ago. It's a picture, old Cub's official Christmas card last Christmas. He's standing in a lounge with the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It looks like Christmas morning. And he's wearing a Santa Claus onesie. And he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a Santa Claus mask.
Is it a beard though? Has it got a beard on it?
Well, it's hard to tell because it's a onesie. It's all like, you know, he's in a onesie.
Right.
You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a really good picture.
That's it.
It amused me.
Yeah.
Très amusement.
Yeah. Very good.
Coverdale in a Santa onesie. What's not to love?
Don't know.
Jonathan. Did he ever used to call you Jonathan? Or
sometimes,
Jonathan?
I'm sure.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
I'll be like, all right, David. Michael.
Yeah.
Michael. I'll be looking around. Who's he talking to?
Yeah.
Or if he was Steve. Stephen.
Yeah.
Right, so we've done the onesie, and we have got so many other great
things. I think you should wrap this one up now. I don't like this. The readers won't be able to see this, but... Mick Wall has now taken to writing down lists of things to talk about. And he's like a newsreader at the end of 9 o'clock news, picking his paper up and going, anyway, let's just talk about this. Let's just talk about David Coverdale's onesie.
We end tonight with the cat in the hat.
This is the thing, it just just peters out into nothingness. So I'm saying goodbye.
No, hang on. Because I wish I could remember his bloody name. His name's Steve. Sorry, Steve, I could never remember the other name. He was the one who sent in that quip about how, what was it? You'll remember it because you treasured
quip,
it, didn't you?
It was,
you treasured it.
It was, I'd like to think of it as a truth.
Oh, okay. And what was
a
it again,
truth
John?
That's
remind
come
us
in.
Of the truth.
It was that, you know, in the Mick Wall podcast,
oh, yes,
which has two people on it, one of them is the name.
Oh, I see.
And one of them is the talent.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now I know. I can't remember your fucking name, Steve.
It was along those lines.
Well, Steve heard.
Steve
heard you apologising about that. And has got back and he said, no, what I meant was...
Oh, he's not clarified.
He's clarified.
Steve never clarified. That's the lesson of this podcast.
Well, I think in this case, this is in the actuality.
Even if you do think that Chris Overland ended up running a wine bar. Just bear down on it for the rest of your life. Just keep saying it.
Absolutely.
It's the Trump lesson.
So Steve got back. Steve got back and said, no, what I meant was, he said that I'm like the Steve Harris of the group and you're like the Bruce Dickinson. Scream for me, John. You're liking that.
Yeah,
you're
quite, going,
actually,
yeah.
Do you know what?
Because I'm thinking, if I had to be Steve or if I had to be Bruce, which one would I be? That's an interesting question.
Well, Bruce, obviously.
Yeah, probably.
Because, you know, you went to private school and sword fight, don't you? You're one of those fucking guys.
I'd sword fight you, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What, you mean like a duel?
Yeah.
Pistols at dawn.
No, sword. Well,
was sword? What is this? You want to hit
me
with a sword?
You were the one who said sword fighting.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. And on that bombshell,
yeah,
we will bid you adieu.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?